This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Curious case of Natalia Grace. We've talked about this last year when the docuseries continued on. It is back again on Discovery ID and streaming on Max. This is apparently the final chapter in the saga. Natalia Grace, the Ukrainian adoptee that was adopted by a family that said, "We're going to love you, Michael and Christine Barnett." And then that turned into, "She's trying to murder us and we need to get rid of her." And they did. They eventually had her age changed to 22, despite her not being 22. She was about 6 or 7, but she's a little person. So who's going to know? It didn't work out well. Eventually, they're brought up on charges. They're found innocent. But another family came in to take care of her, the Manns. And that's where season two ended and where season three is picking up. Another family that does not seem to be without their own demons or belief that there's demons in Natalia or anyone mm-hmm. that speaks against them mm-hmm. in any way, yeah. shape, or form or goes against their opinion. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. I know you watched it. My goodness, there's a lot to unpack here from a psychological standpoint and what you do. What were the things that were standing out to you about this final chapter of Natalia Grace?
This poor young woman has just been bounced around, rejected. The original people, the Barnetts who had her, that was bizarre. They were bizarre. Mm-hmm. This putting her at 8 years old into an apartment by herself and expecting her to function and projecting that she's a psychopath and malevolent. I mean, that was weird as heck. Mm-hmm. Could it get worse? Well, it didn't get much better with the Manns, you know, this religious cult-like belief system. You know, when I was a kid, I spent a bit of time in Pentecostal churches. These people are nuts. Okay. Another clinical term, wackadoodle.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, this stuff about the devil being everywhere and literally casting demons out of people in the middle of their church services. I called that one last time as this is not a good situation for her. I don't think this is going to end well. And it's traumatic. It's horrifying. And it just makes me sick that, you know, now she's, I believe, what, 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. She actually is now.
Yeah.
And the fact that she has never been in a home with normal people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sad.
People oftentimes wonder, well, why is she acting like this? Why is she not trusting? Why is she manipulating everybody? Because she's never been able to trust anyone ever. Now, are some of the things that she's doing very, you know, disturbing? Yes, but that's what happens when you've been abused your entire life. You repeat the cycle of being disturbing because that's all you know. So it comes
all
out
she knows.
In different ways. And that truly is what happened here. When you look at the Barnetts, I don't even know what was going on there. It seems Christine Barnett really had some sort of image or idea of what she wanted to be and when she wasn't. You know, it was all out. We never heard from Christine. She's in Canada and it's not ever commented on that. Then you have the husband who just seems to be like, I'll go along with whatever anybody wants and also wants to perpetually be a victim mm-hmm. as well. But yet the child, the son of the Barnetts too, who did testify or on camera saying, yeah, some of this crazy stuff happened, mm-hmm. which is not to, I guess, say she didn't do those things. Mm-hmm. because I think she probably did in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, but it's a more so trying to understand why she did those things. So you went from that extreme of abuse to a different extreme of abuse with the religiosity and all the accusations against the Manns. As of our recording right now, I tried to do some research on them last night. Not a whole lot to find other than an Instagram page. He has taken all of his religious recordings off the internet. But what we have seen is, yeah, they raise kids for money, basically. I know they'll say it's not. It's this church.
Yeah.
Because he's a bishop. I mean, he invented his own position in his own church. Exactly. He wasn't, like, declared a bishop by a real church. He made a church and goes, I'm a bishop. I guess it could also be Jesus, too, if you wanted to make your own church.
Sure
I'm
could.
Jesus. Yeah. It's like, okay. But he really wanted to get that point across in the doc. When people would address him, it's like, it's bishop to you. But there was audio in there, a background audio. They didn't know it was a hot mic moment a few times where we're going to get the belt out and things like that. So they're clearly, if there's not yet, I hope to God CPS is looking at this family because they're not healthy and this is not safe and this is not normal, but it's all under the guise of religion. All that being said, Natalia goes into that world. And she seemed to really have a very hard time breaking out of that one. Even more than the Barnetts. But she was there for quite a while, I believe almost 10 years under that sort of thinking. Eventually, Natalia is talking to another family, a family who originally wanted to adopt her, the DePauls, and they help her escape. She's not a child anymore. They literally picked her up outside of the church and took her to their home in a rescue effort, if you will. The shocking thing was, Natalia saying how horrible that house is, goes to the DePauls and is calling the mans right away, telling them, you know, I love you. Here's where I am. I'm safe. And the first question out of the mouth of the mans, the wife in that, was, do I still get your money? Am I still the recipient of your Social Security checks? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's inconsistent what comes out of Natalia's mouth from time to time. But as you said, she's never had consistency. She's not a stupid young woman. Clearly, when she speaks, she's got a good vocabulary. She speaks well, but she's very confused on what reality is. And therefore, you know, she can hold different realities that conflict all at the same time, which is the mans are abusive, but I love the mans, you know, and that's common with kids from abusive family backgrounds. They're mixed up, and it takes them a good 10 years after they get out of that kind of situation to sort out what reality really is and what they were living with and what was brainwashing. And, you know, I can't imagine what it's like to be told as a child, oh yeah, the devil is speaking out of your mouth, you know? So she heard things like that. She believed things like that at the time. And she's very mixed up, very confused, and I don't think anyone should take all of it too seriously as far as judging her, because any of us, if we were raised in these bizarre families, we would be mixed up.
Yeah, without a doubt. What would you say to Antoine Mann? We had heard so many phone calls where he was talking with the DePauls. And anytime there was confrontation about them taking Natalia's money or really anything that could be viewed negatively towards them and legitimately, not just an opinion, like you've been taking her money and you refuse to pay the taxes on it, you're going to throw that at her. They would immediately go to, it's the devil talking. The devil speaks lies. And it's like, no, someone's just pointing out the facts here. How would you address that, knowing what you know about people and your education in this with culty type individuals like this and that belief system where they just get so dug in the second they hear something different, it's the devil. How do you get through to that?
You really can't. This is intransigent. And the thing that's so unfortunate is that at some point, people with this kind of mindset, which I think we can say it's a crazy mindset, why have they been approved to take foster kids? Yeah. You know, again, it speaks so poorly of our system, the foster system, that there's, and I think it's desperation. They're so desperate to have people who are willing to take kids in. So they don't look that closely. It's like, you know, is there a record of molestation going on? Is there food in the house? Is there shelter? Will the kid have a bed here? And that's about all that they care about.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere to dump these poor foster kids. And it's just awful because, you know, if I had any any power in the system, I would say these people should not be raising foster kids. It's not good for them.
And the bar is very low on all this where, okay, do they have shelter? Do they have food? I mean, without really taking into consideration the conditions of those things sometimes and going, is this really a better option than where they're currently at? Because I think in a lot of cases, it is not. And this does go on in our system. And I don't know why it does other than, like you said, they're desperate. They need people.
They're desperate.
And I think there's probably a group, a handful of really good people in this world that do take in kids en masse and have a good place for them. And they do their best. And it's for the right reason. I will say from life, and just living life and meeting all sorts of people, anyone I've ever met that has taken in massive amounts of children is not doing it necessarily for the love of children. They're doing it because they can't get the job at Walmart or Wendy's or really anything else.
Anything.
So what they're going to do, they're going to raise children, which is always a great idea if you don't qualify for basic minimum wage work. Let's raise kids. And the system says, great. You're a warm body. You can raise these kids. What could possibly go wrong? And I think that might need to be re-examined a bit because there's way too much of that that goes on in our system that we all pretend doesn't, or we're completely unaware that it
is. Unaware. And I think when people are aware, they don't know what to do about it. So they throw their hands up and there doesn't seem to be any oversight, you know, of the agencies, at least not enough. And, you know, the other thing about the man's, she needs to have a plan for independence. And why weren't they saving some of her money forward so that she would have the funds, you know, maybe they need to take a certain percentage out for her support, but certainly there should have been oversight of what is happening with that money and what is the plan for her to eventually go out and be able to live independently or at least in a group home with peers, something better than she's going to be with them forever in this situation. That's, you know, seems criminal to me.
It seems there's very, very little oversight other than you get parents or the previous guardians to sign off the kid, and then you get the money. That's all there is. Yeah. It's not like, well, let's check this and make sure this is all legit, and you're actually, I mean, there's nothing in this system to make sure that the money is spent correctly for children when they're receiving it. They just doesn't happen. Is this an America problem? Is this how, I mean, obviously we have a very broken system. Are there other systems out there? Because we're always saying this is broken, this is horrible, we need it fixed. Is there any other examples in other countries where they got this down a little bit better? Obviously, a child not having a parent, that's never going to be a great situation, but is there examples of it being done better?
That is a wonderful question, and I can't say I have ever investigated it, but yeah, we should be looking at Canada. We should be looking at Europe. You know, what do they do in Germany and Spain? You know, I know that they don't have the homeless situation that we have here in other countries. So it may be, again, that America, we're such a big country, right? 340 million people. That's a lot of kids to manage in systems. That's a lot of homeless people to try to take care of and figure out a plan. And when it comes to social problems, we're not the best in the world.
No, we're good at creating them, though. We're good at going, here's what we should do because we're going to base it on a religious principle or what my mommy or my daddy told me, and then we're going to get it done and it's going to happen. And once you're alive, good luck. We don't care. You slut. You had a child out of wedlock and now you want help? Well, we forced you to have the kid, but now you want help or we're going to care? No, we don't do that. We just wanted to make sure it came to the world. It's baffling. And I'm not going political either way. I'm just saying, look, if you're going to give a shit that far, you should give a shit for the rest of the kid's life then too.
Very true.
And making sure they're in a good place so they can develop and not just repeat the same cycles over and over and over and over.
Yeah, because having functional people in the country benefits all of us, right? You don't have people back in the system for the rest of their lives. You don't have them in jail. You don't have the additional social problems that we have because of it.
Yeah, we're like I said, we're very good at creating the problems and very, very bad at solving the problems we create. And it seems to be getting worse and worse. This is a prime example of it. I don't certainly have the answers to it. I know you don't either. But it's just glaring every time we hear a story like that. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.